Hey everyone, welcome to Pilot to Co-Pilot, a leadership podcast with me, Antonio Neves, and Jason Lindstrom. Today we are flipping the mic. Jason's leading the conversation and I'm going to be in the hot seat. We're talking about what it means to lead yourself when everything around you falls apart. We're talking about losing a home, starting over, writing a book from scratch. Now, this episode isn't just about me. This is about resilience, rebuilding, and how to move forward one day at a time. All right, Jason, let's get into it.
Yeah, sounds good, Antonio. I think chatting today about leading in a different context is really going to help our listeners for sure. It's not one necessarily about leading a team, but leading yourself. So, Antonio, why do you think leading yourself is important? You know, you're a self-employed, public speaker with all these things going on. So let us hear about it.
Well, it's fascinating. You know, the truth is, I really wonder, Jason, it'll be interesting to get your perspective in a moment, if you truly can lead a team, if you can lead a family, if you don't lead yourself first, if you aren't the example in your actions and your day-to-day. Obviously, so many of us in this day and age of social media, it's so easy to press publish, record a video, and give advice and say motivational quotes and do this and that. And all that's cool. But if you're not the example of that, what difference does it make? If I'm telling my kids to eat a certain type of meal and there they see dad not eating clean, what good does that do? If I'm telling my kids to take care of their health and work out and exercise, but I'm not in the best shape for myself, you know, what does that do? If I'm telling my employees to do something or instructing them or providing suggestions, but I'm not that example, can they take me seriously? And it's interesting because it was a big adjustment for me. I was in corporate America for many years in the television industry as a reporter, as a correspondent. And I was used to having this machine behind me with paychecks showing up every single 2 weeks, guaranteed with insurance and benefits and all those things. And then when you make that decision that no one forced me to do, every now and then, whenever I feel bad for myself, I'll say, hey, remember, you chose this, right? And my wife will say, don't forget, you chose this, and you can always make a different decision. But there's something about when everything you eat, you have to, you know, quote unquote, kill yourself. And there's something about when you know no one's coming to save you, when you know that everything in many regards is up to you, even though you have support of community, friends, colleagues, past colleagues, et cetera. And it requires a certain level of discipline and resilience that I don't think I necessarily fully needed before when I had the machine behind me, when I had an organization behind me. Me doing simple things in my life, whether it's, you know, the process stuff or the consistency with working out or being consistent with my outreach for my speaking or my business building, it kind of reminds me of the commitment I made to do this, not just for myself, but also for my family. But it's a challenge because it's a conversation I have to have with myself every single day in the mirror. And in society nowadays, we talk so much, we hear the word commitment so much. And for me, that's true. And I have to remind myself that commitment's not a one-time thing, that we have to recommit every single day to what we say is important. So leading myself as an individual at this stage of the game, it's about winning the day. We can talk more about that in a little bit, but it's about winning the day and right, then recommitting the next day to what those goals are, what that North Star is, what those visions are, so we can, you know, get the processes down and get some good results long-term.
Yeah, it's great you say that, because even as a CEO, you know, I'm solo a lot of the time as far as, you know, this is our business here. I do have a huge team around me, but at the same time, I totally resonate with what you're saying, because as a leader, as a CEO, a lot of times you're in this corner office, you're working on different projects, you're doing all these different things, and it is a solo flight, right? Like, we are flying solo here. But you got to be able to have goals for yourself first, like you said, and then that helps you to lead others. And, you know, same with you. You're responsible to your family. I'm still responsible to my family, you know, and I think it's great to make those parallels between a self-employed person versus somebody at a corporate level. Yes, I probably have a lot more structure behind me with a board of directors, you know, an insurance plan, you know, all these things that I can't even think about, you know, as a self-employed person, you know, you got to go out and get your own insurance. You've got to negotiate all of that. And so I do think it applies to leading a team because you first lead yourself with goals and all that. It makes it easier. And, you know, I stand in that mirror too every day and put clothes on, look in the mirror and be like, okay, am I ready for the day? Yeah. You know, just like you do. It's interesting, you know?
Yeah. And it's visceral too, because, you know, one thing I do is, you know, you've heard me speak many times on stages. I'm pretty direct and raw. And at the end of the day, what a little secret people don't know is that most times I don't speak on the stage as if I'm perfect or I know these things. I'm reminding myself of these things. Everything you ever hear me say in a tweet, on a LinkedIn post, or on stage, I'm reminding myself. And something that boils down to is, a lot of folks kind of flinch when they hear this, is I have to remind myself, Jason, that no one owes me anything, but I owe myself everything. And people care about me. We're both of us, we're blessed, and all of us pretty much in our lives are blessed that people care about us. And no one can care more about our lives than we do. And maybe this just comes with time, it comes with age. I just really feel blessed every single day that I get to wake up. I feel blessed every single day that I'm healthy. I feel blessed every single day that I have a shot. And whether you run your own company or your employee or not, obviously, you know, nothing is perfect. Obviously, nothing is guaranteed, except how we choose to show up. And there are three things that we can always control. I can always control my attitude. I can always control the level of effort that I give, and I can always control my actions. And when you realize you always control those three things, whether you're self-employed or you have a boss, you work for a company, it's really empowering, and it can change things a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree. So let's talk about what you can't control. So when you have something that caused uncertainty, either in your professional or your personal life, and that happens, how do you manage through that? How do you lead yourself through that? You know, you listed out those three things, but what happens if there's, you know, a fire?
Yeah, well, let's get straight to it. Earlier this year, January 2025, something I could not control. We had these raging fires, these wildfires here in Southern California. Sadly, what did that mean? That meant that my family, along with a lot of people, not only in the west side of Los Angeles, but also on the east side in the Pasadena area and Altadena, a lot of people lost their homes. A lot of people lost their businesses. And when I say I lost my home, we didn't just lose our home, Jason. We lost our neighborhood. You know, more than 50% of our neighborhood gone. Our grocery store gone.
Kids lost the schools too, right?
Kids lost their school, the library we go to, the grocery store. It's just barren landscape for where what once was a thriving community of neighbors and people have been there for a long time. 100% out of my control. Nothing I can do about that. And I think one thing we have to allow ourselves to do is, of course, when you have a family, you have responsibilities, you want to go into fight mode as much as possible to take care and make those immediate decisions that need to be made. I think we also, what we have to do, and I didn't do this for myself early enough, you have to give yourself some space to grieve, right? To give yourself some space to feel. I think so many of us in society nowadays, and even if you haven't faced something as devastating as a fire, maybe it is, you know, losing a job, you know what that's like. Maybe it is a divorce. Maybe it is going through a challenging season of losing a parent or health woes. We have to give ourselves to feel. So many of us are just emotionally constipated. We have a backlog of emotions, fear, sadness, anger, even joy that we don't let out. So I think we have to remind ourselves to let that out. But for me, Jason, when we lost our house, you know, it goes back to the cliche saying, but I had to control what I could control and put pause on all those other variables that were out of my control and decisions that weren't going to be made in a while. And for me, it really boiled down to something extremely simple, a question that I've used in my life a lot. I used with clients over the years. I've shared this on stages, but it became applicable for me in real time. And that was a very simple question. And that was, what will make today a success? It was simple as that, because there are all these different variables you can imagine. You have you have members that experience these types of losses, losing a home. It may not be in a wildfire, but it could be an electrical fire, car accidents, all those things. And for me, it boiled down to that simple question every single day. What will make today success? If nothing else happens, if this gets done, what can make today a success? Some days, Jason, that was undivided time with my 9-year-old twins, who were 8 years old at the time. They've just lost their home, everything they know. Yeah, Dad, I got to do a lot of different things. But today, it's obvious they need me. Be 100% present with them. Forget the emails, the phone calls, people asking how you're doing. Go to the park, be there with them, spouse, etc. Other days, that was get some closure, get some finality on dealing with the insurance company. That would be a success today if we get this information to the insurance company. Other times, that was like, hey, make 5 outreach calls to find some opportunities for temporary lodging. It was those kind of things. I asked myself, what did success look like today? Because once you find yourself in a situation like that, and you're thinking about tomorrow, next week, next month, next quarter, et cetera, it can be overwhelming. And it can all of a sudden, you know, just it leads to paralysis, and it can just lead to overwhelm. And it can lead to those moments where you're so overwhelmed, but you don't want to make a decision. You want to have a beer. You want to turn on and just binge watch Netflix, anything but do what you need to do. So I had to simplify, and there are a lot of things left on my to-do list that didn't get done every single day, except for what I deemed to be those essential items. And that got me through, not just then, Jason, but also today, because here we are now 6 months out, and I'm still pretty much using that to guide me every single day. What will make today a success?
That's great. I think you had mentioned, we had talked when that initially happened, that your kids lost their Legos. And when you think about the loss of a home, it goes all the way down to the Legos, right? Like, it's unbelievable and unimaginable from my perspective to think about what you went through, but what your kids have gone through too. Like, and you've got to be a dad, and you've got to be a leader, and you're running your own business, and like you said, just getting through the day is so important. And I think for any leader, getting through the day, and we have to always remember that the kids have Legos, employees have their Legos, you know, if you want to use a metaphor.
Man, what a beautiful way to put it. I never thought about it like that. Yeah, we thought about it, but it goes down to the Lego, that one Lego. I think my son just finished this massive, this massive pirate ship made out of Lego that he was so proud of. And then, of course, it was gone. It gets me emotional thinking about it because, I mean, it's that. When we got evacuated, we've dealt with different things here in LA. There's been fires not far away, but based on where we live, Jason, I just never thought in a million years that a fire, just to show you how extreme it was, in a million years, I never thought the fire could make it to us. Like, if even a fire happens, it's not going to make it here. You know, this one was black swan event. So when we got evacuated and the phone started doing those weird beeps and those announcements, and I was like, oh, this is real. I was on a coaching call, believe it or not, with another credit union executive. And I was like, I think I got to go. I talked to my wife. She went to run to get the kids out of school. And I said, all right, I'm going to grab a few things. And in my brain, Jason, I'm thinking, I'll be back in 24 hours. Worst case scenario, I'll be back in 48 hours, a couple of days. We'll go stay at a hotel, whatever. And so as I was grabbing things, Jason, I was just grabbing for a couple of days. I didn't empty the safe that had a whole bunch of amazing valuables, cash, and different things that I cared about. I didn't get all of those photos of my father that had not been digitized, who had passed away just 2 years before. I didn't get my wife's jewelry and heirlooms that she'd been, you know, given to her from grandparents and all that stuff. And all those things are important. But believe it or not, man, the one thing that breaks my heart that I didn't get, my kids, they had these stuffies on their bed.
Right.
That they just loved, man, that were theirs, that they just really cared about. And I grabbed things from their rooms, and I grabbed their iPads and their headphones and this and that. Hindsight being 2020, if I could only grab a couple of things in those moments that I had, I would have grabbed their stuffies because that was home for them. And it's those things like the Lego, like you said, or that, it's that stuff they've had since they were a baby that meant the world to them. And we've done our best to replace them as much as we could, and amazing companies have come to our aid to support and to find some ones that look just like them and all that. But yeah, that's an interesting point. You don't always think about the big things. You think about the Lego. You think about the stuffies. You think about that picture of your dad before he even knew you were going to exist when he was in his 20s, that you'll never see again because you didn't digitize it. So for all those folks listening who have tons of photos and photo albums, and digitize your stuff and put it up in the cloud.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if you know this about me, but when I lived in Southern California, I think I evacuated 3 times. Fortunately, the house that I lived in never had any loss. But I remember that cop car out front with the megaphone saying everyone needs to evacuate their residence, that kind of thing. And grabbing what we could. We had cats, so we put them in the cat carrier, put them in the car, they're freaking out. I see helicopters, and I think we had a DC-10 fly over and drop Foscheck across the street. Like, just people amassing. We oversaw and overlooked the elementary school, and we had all the fire trucks in the elementary school, and we had an inmate crew that was up on the hill at the top of the hill across the street where there was a trail, and they were cutting a fire line. And so I've been there, not to the point that you have been there, but it is something that you can't ever prepare for. And to not grab the Legos and not grab the stuffy, it's hindsight to look back on. And it's a vulnerable moment for you, for people, when they go through all this.
And it's raw, and even just experiencing that fear of what you experienced, that's a lot in itself. It's interesting, in the book, my book Stop Living on Autopilot, that came out in 2021, I write about how don't wait for a life-altering event to live the life you're supposed to be living. Don't wait for the fire, don't wait for the divorce papers to be served, don't wait for the bankruptcy, don't wait for the DUI, right? Don't wait for the bad bad health diagnosis. And for me, that was a reminder for me for many things that I, the guy who wrote that, was still hitting pause on in many ways, waiting for that perfect time, that person, that perfect moment. And I got to say, I think that maybe every dad, every man's maybe greatest fear in many ways is losing everything. I don't know. Like, what if I lose my job? We lose everything. The worst case scenarios, the house and all that kind of stuff. I'll tell you, man, we did lose everything in many ways, the physical stuff that we, and you realize you're still standing, you're still here, and you're still here to fight. And, I'm just so thankful to all the people, like you said, those first responders and folks that showed up to support and be there, even in challenging circumstances in LA. I won't get into my opinions on those things here on this podcast, but so many people play such a critical role. And I'm fortunate that we're making our way, we're figuring things out still to this day, 6 months later, and we will for a while.
Yeah. And I think, we're talking here, we're putting ourselves out on a national podcast here. We're both male leaders, and being vulnerable, I think, is a really good quality of a leader, to be vulnerable, have vulnerable moments, but talk about it, but also learn from it. I recently had a female employee tell me that it was great to hear the first podcast, and two male leaders being vulnerable. And I think that makes such a difference in life, going through life, either as a father, as a leader, being male in an environment where you're expected to be the tough guy, you're expected to be strong, you're expected to lead with strength and all that. And, I think if you're vulnerable, you're allowed to have those emotions. You're allowed to get upset about the Legos, right? I think that there's a lot to that in leadership and moving forward, and then creating transparency and making sure that people understand what the mission is and what you're there to do, but also be vulnerable and talk about the stories that you have, because it makes you who the person that you are. And I think even if you're not a leader and you're listening to this podcast, you're talking with a couple people here that have been through a lot of different experiences, you coming from Michigan and all the different things that you've done. And then my career going from one coast to the other, pretty much staying in credit unions, but really having, you know, a number of different times where I was, you know, a couple times I was laid off, no fault of my own. I think we've talked about that before, but, you know, that, that vulnerability and like getting the job or whatever, like pulled out from underneath you, and then having to like go back and hit the road again and start selling yourself and have interviews and get to that point where you, you get a job. But that vulnerability still sticks with me as far as, you know, being a strong leader, but being vulnerable and being able to talk to people and have those conversations about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's that human element that, you know, in this highly curated social media age where we only get the highlight reels when everything goes great, when you get to talk to someone and they tell you how they're really doing, you know, that's special. I think that's one thing that drew me to you when we first met during some different panels and different things I moderated that you were on, is I noticed that you always kept it real, and there was like no false veneer, you know, trying to portray this fake image to the public. You were just real, and what you see is what you get, and I appreciated that. And I think a lot of people don't get that, and their people are tired. They're tired of seeing just the veneer. They want to see the real stuff. They want to see the roots. They want to see the bones of the house. And I think, you know, it comes to story, right? You listen to story, you're drawn to people who have stories, that people have interesting stories to tell. And I found that most times, Jason, I'm sure you'll get this, is that the most fascinating, interesting thing about us typically as human beings are typically those things that do not appear on your resume. They're those things that don't show up on your LinkedIn bio or your about page. Those things that you've experienced, that you've overcome, that you've been challenged with, that got you to where you are, that build up that grit, that resilience. Those are the things that people connect to. Those are the things that other people can relate to. Something for me, that one of our early conversations, you shared with me a good deal about your health journey. I was asking you about how you got into bikes and how are you riding all these miles on your bikes and this and that. And you gave me a little bit of background on your story and why you do it and why you choose to show up like that. And for me, all of a sudden, I had a better understanding of who this person is as a man. And most people will skip over all that stuff. So I just invite people who's listening. Of course, there's a time and place to share things, right? And I know, you know, a lot of times we say, you know, you only bring a certain portion of yourself to work, but we're human. And your colleagues know if you're not a writer, if they get it challenging at home, or maybe you're just exhausted because you leave work and you got to take care of elderly parents or a kid's out sick from school or something. Like, it's okay to be real. It's okay to tell the truth. And people will have that compassion and that empathy, and then we'll create that connection. And I think that's one of the reasons why this is another conversation. As much as people rally around remote work, and I'm not against remote work, what I found is that it creates a disconnection amongst colleagues. It creates a disconnection of empathy and compassion, because there are only certain, you can tell me one thing on a phone or on a call, on a Teams call, Jason, or on a Zoom call. But when you tell me something in person, I can see maybe you turn your head a little bit, or your head to go down, or something stings a little bit that I only can address in person that I can't address on a screen like this.
Yeah. I agree. The remote work is great to an extent, you know, for those that can handle it. But I've seen, even in our organization, the social aspect of it. I don't know if I told you this, but Maine is probably like one of the last places on the planet to get a Chick-fil-A, right? So when I first got here, it was like, there's a promise of a Chick-fil-A coming. I'm like, oh, Chick-fil-A, that's great. In Virginia, where I came from, they're on every corner. You know, every two blocks, there's a Chick-fil-A. So it gets to be pretty mundane. And this Chick-fil-A opened up probably 3 years after I started here, 4 years after I started here, whatever. And we have Chick-fil-A Wednesday. And so we all go to Chick-fil-A. We got somebody that goes and gets all the orders, and then we, you know, pay everybody. And but we sit in a boardroom in the office here, and we have Chick-fil-A Wednesday, and people are on their phones. We're having conversations. We're talking about things. Sometimes we even put stuff up on the screen, like, hey, check out this video, right, of somebody doing something. And it's that transparency and vulnerability and social connection we would never get if we were at home and we ordered DoorDash Chick-fil-A that day on a Wednesday, right? So that little thing like that is so needed, I think, in the workplace, as far as having that social connection and being able to have the connection to people that you just miss out on. And, you know, Chick-fil-A Wednesday, that's a thing. And if somebody schedules a meeting in the boardroom at 12 o'clock on a Wednesday and didn't realize Chick-fil-A Wednesday is going on, you know, you've got mutiny up here, right, on our floor with everybody.
So I love that. One, I can't wait to find my way to that other planet called Maine. Maine is another planet, by the way. I feel like it's so unique compared to the rest of the United States. It's like in a great way. I hope it stays that way. I think there are some remote places, not that Portland and different areas are remote, but it's just different, and I appreciate that compared to the rest of the states. But so many people across the country, there are these conversations, and CEOs and HR leaders are talking about, what can we do to create a better culture in the office? What do we need? Do we need these types of snack machines? Do we need these tables? Do we need pool tables? All these crazy things you're talking about that are cost a lot of money. And I think what they don't realize is sometimes all you need is Chick-fil-A Wednesday. All you need is people to get together in a boardroom. Don't put any pressure on it. Yes, people are going to be on their phone. We may put a video, you know, a funny Instagram video on the screen or something like that. But that right there is brotherhood, that sisterhood, that's community. And it's simple and it doesn't cost you nothing. But we're trying to create all these artificial things to engage people. Oh, what are the young people going to want? How are they going to connect with them? It's very simple. Chick-fil-A, right? Wednesdays. And I bet there are people who don't even eat Chick-fil-A that still want to be in that room because there's good conversation and there's good energy going on. So I hope someone's realizing that it's not about all the, I'm gonna put a fancy word out there, Jason, accoutrement, all those things out there. It can be something simple as that. That makes me happy because someone was about to buy something stupid for their office that they don't need.
That's all they need. Chick-fil-A Wednesday. And we have meal preppers and stuff, so they'll bring their own salad or whatever. You don't have to be part of Chick-fil-A, but you're part of that social gathering, right? And as humans, we're social. Whether you're introverted or extroverted, it doesn't matter. You still need that human connection, you know? And I think that's just what it's all about, is the human connection. And it could be three people in that boardroom. It could be, you know, 27 of us in the boardroom if we had the room to have Chick-fil-A Wednesday. And we've got, you know, frequent flyers who are there every Wednesday. And we have the, you know, one every, you know, couple weeks because I only eat Chick-fil-A, you know, once a month, you know, and so they'll show up and everybody's welcome, you know. And I think it's just the little things that, you know, about being vulnerable, having that transparency. As a leader, you want to be human. We talked about that last time, I think, a little bit. You know, we're running out of time here, Antonio. We didn't even get to talk about your One Day Method book.
That's okay. We can put a link in there.
Up out of the ashes with that.
Yeah, we'll put a link in there. We can talk about that in another episode. But I do want to share something interesting you said, because we're talking about community right now. And we're talking about going through challenging seasons, tough times. And as it relates to me experiencing that challenging time, one thing I'm so appreciative of, Jason, is I'm not sure about your experience, but I know a lot of people, when they're going through tough seasons, we isolate. We can disappear. We can retreat. And for a good, and rightly so, sometimes we do need to go to the wilderness, if we will, to get those emotions out, to get through those challenging times, to have some time to heal. So I'm not saying that we isolation and retreating for a bit isn't important to get away. But it's only to a certain extent. And I'll tell you, one of the best things that ever happened to me, and I hope people, when they know someone in their life is going through a tough time, they're willing to do this, is they know someone's going through a tough season. The best thing that happened to me when I wasn't picking up phone calls, when I wasn't responding to emails, is some people just showed up. And that was huge. They didn't show up saying, tell me the latest, what's going on. They showed up with a box of Legos for my kids. A good buddy of mine came up from Manhattan Beach with a whole bunch of Legos to our Airbnb we were renting. Some people showed up with food at different times. We lost all of our clothes. A buddy showed up with, hey, I know you guys like to work out. Here's a pair of workout shorts and a shirt. Some people who live in different parts of the country, they showed up with a gift certificate to DoorDash, to Uber Eats, to those things, because they realized, I'm not in the place to talk. They know me. I'm not going to ask you for anything, right? Even if that's to a fault, then I'm not going to ask you. And they just showed up. So that Chick-fil-A Wednesday, I just invite you, when someone's going through that tough season and maybe they need that space to heal, there are different ways that you can show up for them because they need it. And just best believe, even if you don't want to, I don't want to get in the way, I don't want to overstep my bounds. If you know that person and you love, and they love you enough and you know they do, they will welcome that quick visit. They will welcome those things that maybe you're hesitant to do. It's better to do it, I'd say, than not to do it.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I totally agree. I think it's one of the best things that as a leader, what you can do is be human and know that everybody out there is human. And yeah, you're so right. Some people need that time to grieve. They want to be alone. But for the most part, we're humans and we love that interaction at some point. You know, if they're ready for it, you got to be able to try to deliver it. And, you know, whether that's, you know, through having a strong HR, you know, having strong other leaders that have that similar philosophy. And, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has different personalities. You know, I'm not a huge hugger. I don't like that, but I know there are people out there that are huge huggers and that's how they do it. They give you that big hug. You know, if I'm gone on vacation, there's a couple people here that'll come in and give me a hug when I get back. It's like, okay, not really my thing, but you know, it's just, it's that human connection and everybody feels it differently. And so I think it's one of those things. It's pretty cool.
Well, I think someone, whoever's listening to this, I want you to set up a meme or an audio from this of Jason saying, I'm not a huge hugger. I don't like that. That if this was a video podcast, that thing would go around the internet. That'd be the best meme ever. I'm not a huge hugger. I don't like that. But like you said, and there are some people you guys still going to lean in and give people that big hug. You, by the way, you and I are very similar in that capacity. Of course, there's a lot we could talk about, and I think we'll dig into this again on another episode. But I want to just appreciate you so much for the questions that you asked and allowing me to share. And like you said, be human and be vulnerable. And for those folks listening equally, to be willing to open up and to share and to check in on your people. Check in on those people that go silent, because two of the most dangerous words that someone can say when you ask them how they're doing are, I'm fine. I'm fine. There's so much can be behind those words. So I'm appreciative to have you, Jason, other people in my life that check in on me, and I'm gonna do the same with you. And I'm even gonna give you a hug next time I see you. But hey, for everyone listening, thank you for listening to Pilot to Co-Pilot, a leadership podcast with me, Antonio Neves, and with my man, Jason, the hugger, Lemstrom. We will see you guys next episode.
Thanks, Antonio.